Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining me today. Great program today with Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Dave Stoop, and your phone calls. We love having you and hope you'll join us today for New Life.
My husband and I have been married for a year.
Is there a Christian or biblical therapy for OCD?
At that time, I had just gotten out of jail for domestic violence. I smacked her pretty hard this last time. And
so what are you going to do?
One of the largest struggles that we face in relationships is allowing you to be different than me.
I'll say it this way. It is devastating in a redemptive way.
What that does is it makes you an adult responsible for the choice that you're making.
I am such a jerk. And do so many crummy things and make so many, and they can vouch for it. You know, somebody show me something that makes more sense than we can't make it. Jesus did it for us.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Don't know where you are, don't know what you're doing, but I'm sure glad that you're joining us today. And with me, Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Dave Stoop. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Stevie.
You guys doing all right?
Doing great.
We're good.
Well, I tell you what, let's do. We've got a lot of calls lined up. Let's just go right to the phones, and let's talk with Bruce from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening online. Hi, Bruce.
Hello, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
Oh, we'd be doing a lot better if I didn't have to call you guys.
That's... Well, what's happened, Bruce?
All right, first of all, so you guys know, I did get the book, 7-Minute Marriage, but as this convoluted story runs through, you'll see I haven't had an opportunity to use it, and I am a... supporter of you guys and
well,
appreciate
thank
everything
you.
That you guys do. So,
thank you.
I've been a Christian about 7 or 8 years. I was grew up Catholic. Actually, it's about 8 or 9 years. And met a girl. Well, actually, she's a high school girl that we knew each other when my business was working where she was at. We started discussing things about our Christian faith. And actually, I had a crush on her when we were in ninth grade. We're both 49 years old. So we started going out. I took her to a Christian event, and our relationship started to blossom. We ended up, having a Christian background. We didn't want to have no formal sex or anything, do any of that stuff, none of the moving in. She has 5 children, so we didn't want to go that route. You know, we wanted to, you know, keep everything pure and for God because we've been through so many different relationships.
Did you guys get married?
Yes, we ended up getting married. We got married.
How long ago was this?
Excuse me, that was last June, and she left me in February. So let me give you a little background on her and me. I was married before she was married before. She was in an abusive marriage for 23 years, 5 children. Noticed things going wrong roughly around December and stuff. I could see on her face where she was just a disappointed look in me. Mm. It goes back to what a 7-minute marriage says about, you know, expectations, and there's tons of expectations, and evidently I fell through the cracks on a lot of them.
Okay.
And I did a lot of things wrong. She wanted to move into a new house right away. We don't have the ability to do that right now, you know, so we were jumping between buying new furniture, keeping the old stuff, making the right investments where we'd sell the house and make a profit. So those are just some of the things. Around Christmas time, on her text messages, I caught her texting 2 ex-boyfriends and texting to find another place to live.
Okay.
So I didn't handle it exactly right. Of course, she screamed, I ruined her life. You know, I made some comments too. I apologized right away, you know, and we started going to Christian counseling. Christian counseling, I thought it was kind of working.
Get to the end of this so we can help.
Okay,
you.
Yep. So anyway, I went on a missions trip in February. She took off. She left. When we came back, we went to the marriage counselor. We were supposed to take a month sabbatical, and 3 months we were supposed to work on the marriage. After the month went by, we went into the with the marriage counselor, which was a Christian-based one. She accused me of attempting to poison her, and what's happening since then, all the way up until just about, yesterday, we actually met with people in our church, is she just has repeatedly criticized me from anything from sexual perversion, being a terrible stepfather, to forcing her to go to work when she had gout, and it just goes on and on and on.
Okay,
well... You know, so what I the information that I got listening to your show since March and everything else is and going to the counseling and talking to people with focus in the family and all that kind
Hold
of
on. We'll be back after this.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical or doesn't make sense or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Denham November 1st through the 3rd in Southern California. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Okay, so Bruce, what is the question for us after your wife left you while you were doing some mission work there in Haiti?
Right. So I have just two more quick things, and this will kind of get to where I want to ask you the question.
Got to be quick.
For 2 months, we had no conversation at all. I blocked her emails because they were just all belittling. So she finally shot me a text giving me her new phone number saying, I'm tired of running from you and from my fears. Can we talk? That's when I had set up the appointment to sit in with some elders because I just every time we've been together, it's been an aggressive attitude by her. I don't know which way to go with this. That's pretty much what I'm calling. I'm kind of totally at wit's end. I've asked her on two different occasions. I said, Lisa, if you need time to get fixed, I'll be here for you. Do you want to work on your marriage? And she's never answered it.
Okay.
Christian marriage counselor says she doesn't want to work on a marriage from what he can tell by, you know, obviously he's a lot more information than you have.
Okay, so what's the question?
So what should I do? What's my next step?
Well,
when I got married, it was a covenant for God for good or bad. And all the little things that have happened in this marriage are things that could be fixed. It's all things that because two people are melding together at 49 years old, it takes time to get to know each other.
Okay. So the question is, what should you do now that you have been totally rejected by
right.
her?
I know I'm supposed to leave it in God's hands and everything like that, but
God leaves this, you know, the steps that He directs in our hands. We have to take the step, and so I think I'm a little confused on where you are in the process. But the thing to do, I believe, is until it's over, it's not over, and you say, I want to restore our marriage, and this is, you know, we can't do it by ourselves, and so meet me in this counselor's office at this particular time, and let's talk about what you're willing to do to restore that, and you offer the light and see if she comes.
I've asked her if she wants to work on a marriage, and she's never says yes.
Well, it's confusing, though, because she sent you a text that said, you know, she wanted to talk. So, I've made an appointment. Here's the appointment. I would like for you to be there because I'm going there to figure out what to do with our marriage.
Well, Steve, we did that. That's what we did. I went to the some elders at the church, and all she did is started going over everything that was wrong with the marriage, started all at word one, more criticism and stuff. And so I asked her, I said, why did you call me? What did you want to say to me? And she looked at me and said, I don't want you driving by my kids' houses or going into my kids' house. Two of her kids live in one of my rental properties. And I said, so that's what you sent me the text for? I walked out of the meeting.
Well, if that's where she is, you know, it doesn't seem like her heart is open to you at all.
Very hard-hearted.
Right. Right.
So
you would think I would have punched her in the face or something the way she treats me. Now, granted, you know, I don't know what all happened in her last marriage and stuff like that, but I've never even screamed at her or anything. I've grown quite a bit as a Christian. I have been agitated, but I do just like you guys all say. I stonewall. I'm a typical guy. She criticizes. I stonewall. I walk away. You know.
Okay.
Okay, so Bruce, I think that long-suffering begins after we're not making somebody suffer. And so, you know, to get the log out and to do, you know, stop the stonewalling and all of that and take the stance. And if she doesn't show up, then she doesn't show up, and you use that opportunity with the with an experienced counselor to figure out your next steps.
Okay.
Say, I've got an appointment to work on our marriage. I would like for you to be there. Please come. And I'm going to go.
But only if you want to work on our marriage.
And I'm going to go either way. But if she doesn't, though, I would still want her to show up because, okay, since you're not going to work on it, then let's talk about the path from here.
Yeah.
Is that going to be amicable? Is that going to?
I mean, I even asked her right in front of the counselors. I mean, the Christian elders and stuff like that. I said, well, you know, and this her oldest son's a therapist too for drug and alcohol, and
let me interrupt for a second, okay? I'm not sure that calling somebody into a group of elders is probably going to feel like the safest place for her either if she is touchy. And so I think a safe place with one counselor might be a different place to start.
Okay.
Yeah. Then you can always, with the leadership that you have, you can report and tell them how they can pray for you and all of that.
Yeah, because what I was going to do is have our pastor actually ask her which way she wants to go. I mean, it's been 6 months.
Well, it sounds like to me you know the answer to
that. Yeah. You're trying to get something from somebody that doesn't have anything to give in terms of an answer that she won't admit the fact of what her behavior is saying. And probably she that's her move, and then she starts to feel abandoned and lonely, and she comes back towards you, and then you take the bait, and everything starts all over again. It's a vicious cycle you're caught in, Bruce. And,
well, I'm gonna send him a copy of the book I'm reading, Boundaries in Marriage, and it's great. Great section there on the resistant spouse, and I hope that that's going to help you. And I'm so sorry that you're in this situation. These are the kind of things that we deal with at the marriage weekend. And Dave, you and I've seen people that didn't live together for 2 years come back and make it and enjoy what they made. So I would always hope that at some point a person would say, well, before I give this up, I'd do that weekend because it really reveals so much and provides so much hope in the worst of situations. And we're going to do our next one in October in Columbus, Ohio. Let's go to Jan from Cincinnati, Ohio, watches us on TV. We're glad she does. Hi, Jan. Welcome to New Life. Jan? Not there. Well, we won't hold it against her or Cincinnati. Let's go to Mona from Concord, California. KFAX is the station. Mona, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm well, thank you very much.
Okay, how could we help today?
Okay, I have two questions. I'll present the questions and then I'll present the scenario. The question is how to help a, she's my 19-year-old sister with a potential alcohol addiction, excuse me. And what are some measures she can take to combat this struggle? So basically, she has disclosed to me recently of her experiences with weed and alcohol. She has experimented with weed, weed edibles on a one-time occasion, but more consistently than not, she says her struggle is infrequently with consuming alcohol.
And what is the struggle?
Excuse me?
What is the struggle?
Well, she says the struggle is to not engage in drinking alcohol.
So is the struggle to never drink a drop of alcohol, or does she overdrink, or what is the struggle?
Oh, no, she doesn't overdrink. She just samples. She just tastes. It's sort of, I guess, speaking to just being curious.
Well, a taste, well, I don't understand. That's not...
Well, she's drinking it. She didn't disclose how much she drinks, but she says she just sampled
that's
with her friends, like, or she may take a sip.
And she's saying that's a big problem.
Well, I'm concerned that it could be a potential issue because
why?
Because her dad was an alcohol had an alcohol issue. So, and this is something
is her dad your dad also?
No, sir.
You have different dads.
He's also deceased.
And just clarify, does she see this as a problem or just you see it as a problem?
We both see it as a problem.
Okay.
Or a potential problem, actually. Right now, because of the, you know, the infrequency, I'm afraid due to what she was previously exposed to during her infancy years.
During her what?
With her infancy years, when she was younger, her dad, she was with her dad, and he allowed her to sample alcohol when she was a minor, and he had alcoholic issues, and also her stepfather.
Hey, Mona, let me give you my suggestion in that the AA has what are called speaker meetings, where they have a...
I'm sorry, you sound very muffled.
Oh.
I can't hear you clearly. I do apologize.
Oh, I'm glad you told me that. Terry, fix me. what I was suggesting, is that any better?
No.
No?
For some reason.
Okay.
Sure.
Then we'll
go ahead.
Well, Dave is going to try to accommodate you by moving over to a different microphone. Same wisdom, different mic.
Now, is that any better?
No, but it's okay. I can listen to it later.
Okay. Shoot, Dave.
Well, I would check into what are called speaker meetings, AA speaker meetings. And a lot of times a hospital that does treatment will have an excellent one. They have people that do tell their stories, and they're very educational. And I would find a speaker meeting, I would go to it, and I would go to it consistently for a couple of months because you'll learn more. Both of you will learn more. It'll give you a context in which to talk about it. And it'll make a world of difference. You don't have to say a word. You go in, you don't say anything. You sit down, you listen, you get up, and you leave. And it's strictly a speaker meeting, not something where people participate.
Okay. And how exactly will that benefit her? Will it just provide...
It's educational. You'll understand what you're dealing with. You'll have a common ground. You'll have conversations that you'll have based on what you heard. And I've had people go to three or four of them and come back and say, I understand my problem finally.
And she'll understand her father, too.
It'll help that.
She'll get the big picture there.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
All right. And we have a teen life recovery Bible I want to send you to give to her. It's made just for teens. It's about recovery. And it's got wonderful notes in there that'll help her read the Bible in a different way. Did you have one more thing you wanted to ask?
I did. She's being asked to participate on a board at church, and she feels that she shouldn't because she feels that it would be sort of hypocritical due to this this issue. So, go ahead.
Mona, as I understand the issue, she's tasted alcohol a few times?
Well, she's tasted and she's been drinking, so it's more than a few times, actually.
Okay, it's hard to get a picture of kind of what this issue is. If she's, you said, you use words like sample in a few times.
Well, we call it sample because she's in her, you know, sort of like a curious experimental stage. So, but she's named over five different alcohols that she's tried.
Okay. We're having a hard time defining the problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's confusing. On the one hand, it sounds a little bit like there is a touch no alcohol rule that she's violating, and that's the problem. On the other side of the equation, it's that there is a drinking problem, and that's the problem. And I can't tell which one you're talking about.
Well, the information I'm giving you is what she's given me.
Yeah, okay. So. Well, you probably need some more information. You know, how often do you do this? How much do you drink? You know, what happens? And look up a good, you know, a good symptom checklist for somebody who's got a drinking problem.
And as far as that committee goes, you know, as long as she's telling the truth, she's not being hypocritical. If she's there and she can say, well, you know, here's what's appealing to me about this stuff, maybe she can give them some insight from somebody that's experimenting or struggling. But if she has to lie to serve, then that isn't what she wants to do.
Okay.
Mona, is this
me and other family members. So I thought it was best to call you guys.
Mona, is this a no alcohol church? Would that be part of the doctrine of the church?
Well, basically.
So it's a church that has a policy. If you go here, you can't drink any alcohol.
Well, no. There's no policy, but I guess they speak according to the scripture in regards to alcohol and drinking.
Yeah. The scripture says don't get drunk.
Right.
So that's why we were trying to find out, is she drinking too much?
She get drunk.
How old is she?
19.
She just turned 19.
Okay, well, she's doing something illegal also, so that's probably an issue. But I just want to find out, does she have a drinking problem and need treatment? Because if she does, then she needs some help, okay? But if it's some kind of Christian rule here, not a biblical rule, but a Christian rule, and some places have that, and we're not to judge that, and they're not to judge her, and if that's the problem, then it's a different conversation.
She either needs help or guidance, one or the other. We'll be back.
There's a common misconception in our society that divorce is the only option for a broken marriage.
A month before coming here, I went and saw a non-church-related counselor. The lady I talked to said, you need to be divorced by the end of the year.
Here at New Life, we believe the complete opposite. Your marriage can be repaired, no matter what you've gone through.
Everything, even the most devastating thing in your marriage, God can take and work it together for good.
Bring your troubles to New Life's Marriage Weekend. From October 11th through the 13th in Columbus, Ohio, New Life's group counselors will be working to help struggling couples across the country. And Steve Arterburn, Mylon and Kay Yurkovich, and Drs. Dave and Jan Stoop will be teaching you how to repair your marriage. To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I just want to say thank you. This weekend has been completely transformational.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person. For the first time in my life, I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. And, man, I tell you, sometimes these calls are tough just to get to the heart of the matter, you know?
I couldn't tell, Steve, if it was a conflict in if you go to the book of Romans, Paul is pretty clear that people have different perspectives on things that the Bible describes as areas of freedom. And what it says is that, you know, if you abstain from certain things, that you're not to judge those who do. And if you don't abstain, that you're not to judge those who abstain, if I got all that right.
Yeah.
And so, sometimes it sounded like it's kind of a Christian living rule thing, and other times it sounded like a real problem. Now, certainly there is a legal problem here, but that's not what they're talking about. You know, so I think she needs a lot more information, because if somebody's got a drinking problem or a drug problem, you really want to get them help.
Yeah.
So,
it's important that I think that this woman that we're talking to. Jan, I think it's important that
Mona,
that she get the kind of advice that she needs, an ongoing, maybe talk to somebody that's in Al-Anon or somebody that's recovering, somebody with Celebrate Recovery, so that she's sure she's right on track there. All right, now let's go to Jan, Cincinnati, Ohio, watches us on television. Hello, Jan. Oh, that's right, not there again. Oh, well, we'll just let her go. Let's go to Kay, Springfield, Pennsylvania, WFIL. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, Kay.
Hello.
Hi, Kay.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good.
How can we help?
Okay, quick question. How do parents, well, you know what, let me just give a situation.
All right.
My daughter is 27. She's a single mom, and she's now living with my husband and I.
How long has she been living there?
Well, really, it's been off and on since he's been born. He's 8 years old, so, you know, she'll move away, and then she has to come back, and things happen. And so anyway, she's back again. This is the third time, and it's a lot. There's a lot of conflict in the home only because it's hard to say things to her. Like, no matter how you say it, how nice, she gets very defensive, and I know from reading your books and hearing other things, I know a lot of the conflict started in childhood from our relationship with her, because we were Christian home, but we didn't have a lot of communication and affirmation, because my husband and I came from broken homes. So a lot of things we didn't have to give them as our children. And now that we know better and we're learning different relational skills, we're trying to implement those, but it's harder with her because she's home with us. Our two sons have moved away.
Okay.
You know, than with her. So trying to see how do we improve the relationship? What are some tips or books you can recommend?
Well, what was the last conversation that you had with her that was troubling?
Well, the last conversation was concerning her room, the room where she lives, stays in. It's very messy, and she's been messy since she was younger, but she'll get on her son about throwing things around, but then he goes in that room, and the room is a wreck. So I, you know, mentioned to her that, we mentioned to her about cleaning the room, making it more tidy, so he'll have a good example, and, you know,
She didn't like you messing with her room, then.
Yeah. Well, anything you say to her, you know, certain things with her son. If I tell her, you know, you really shouldn't, it's not really good to have a child out late at night, or, you know, anything that we say to her, she'll get defensive.
Hey, Kay, why didn't you?
And this is one other thing I should say. Because like I said, we're learning a lot now, and a lot of times I feel guilty about certain things when they were growing up, the lack of communication and relationship. So a lot of times I will hold back saying things to her because I don't want to cause conflict. But then, of course, that causes inward conflict within myself because I'm stressed out about what's going on, but I'm, like, reluctant to say anything. And my husband, he doesn't like conflict, so a lot of times he won't say anything.
Okay.
And then we'll talk, and we'll say we're going to meet with her, but things happen, and we don't, and, yeah.
Okay.
Is she paying you rent, Kay?
Currently not, only because she hasn't been working. Now, she did recently, she gets these odd jobs, you know, here and there. She's not working steadily, so when she does get an odd job, she will give us something toward, you know, rent, but she's not paying steady rent.
Okay, but it seems like, you know, you just kind of let these things happen. You can still, I think, intervene and sit down with her and say, you know, we're happy you're here, but here are some house rules that you need to follow while you're here. And kind of spell them out. But you need to forget about what happened when they were little kids. That's her problem to solve. That's not your problem to solve. So forget that. Just look at what's going on here and now. If her room's messy, that means her interior life is also messy, and that's why things aren't going well. And if she could get her external world a little neater, the internal world might get a little neater as well.
Okay.
Are there any other demands you have on her other than keep her room clean?
Well, we do plan to sit down with her. It's just that she has
okay.
the time.
Hold on.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much out there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you mm-hmm. know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are, and they give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we are back. Henry, anything you want to weigh in here on with Kay and her 27-year-old daughter and son living with them?
Yeah, Kay, thing I would add is that, you know, when there's a vacuum, what's going to fill that vacuum is the force and the physics of who, either whatever dysfunction the parties bring to it or whatever patterns they have in the past and all of that. And that's why we have something referred to as structure. And what I would do is back up to the very beginning and sit down and say, you know, Susie, we love you and we want to help, and that's why I want you living here and all of that. And what we never have really talked about is kind of the different roles and responsibilities that each of us have here. And so I would very clearly define those. And there's some categories, like, you know, we provide the house. Here's what you can provide. And that might be rent. It might be chores. It might be, you know, a lot of different stuff. And then that there are kind of some house rules that, you know, figure out, you know, her room is her room or the common areas. Everybody has responsibility in the common areas, et cetera, et cetera. And then what are the roles and responsibilities when it comes to the kid? You know, who sets the rules of behavior and what, where's the line where, what things would she like for you to discipline and not, and who's going to parent and all of that. And I think that there's just a vacuum of clarity here. And what y'all need is some good rules and expectations and arrangements that every relationship needs to have. And when people bring a lot of maturity to a relationship, you know, Jesus said, you don't need a lot of laws if you live the golden one. If everybody treats others like they would want to be treated, then you don't have to write this stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't, then you do.
Yeah.
And so that's where, you know, there's not a lot of respectful behavior going on here. And so I think you guys need to sit down and figure out what the rules are.
And one thing I would say is that that she's living with you, and that close proximity causes you to observe some things that you wouldn't normally observe if she wasn't living there. And you follow her lead on what to discipline and not, but you still want to be able to have the freedom to share with her an observation that might help in the raising of this child. You've been through it, and you've learned some things, and so you want to be her partner in it. Let me send you a copy of Raising Great Kids, and let's see if maybe that would work for her, give you guys some mutual things to talk about. We'll send that to you. I'm really glad that you called.
It'd be great if we could have an adult-to-an-adult conversation.
Yes.
But we're not sure the daughter's there yet.
Yes, that's right. Okay. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we would love to help you. We've got Women in the Battle, November 1 through 3. And Healing is a Choice is coming up October the 11th. Let me read this to you. Before I went to that weekend, I felt stuck. I knew I was broken. I knew most of the problems I had, but I did not know how to fix them. I was spinning my wheels. Well, that weekend was exactly what I needed. God breathed my flickering hope into a steady flame, and not hope for the wishful kind, but hope that is faith in God's ability to breathe new life into my valley of dry bones. It was a turbo boost toward wholeness. I left there with tools to heal the past, deal with the present, and transform the future. And I left there with a newfound confidence in my ability to persevere. Probably most important, I left there feeling loved on like nobody's business. The body of Christ in action is an amazing thing. If you are struggling with fear, anxiety, whatever, I just hope and pray that you would give us a chance and come and let us work with you at Healing is a Choice. That's in Columbus, Ohio, in October. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want information on that, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Trent. Strasburg, Pennsylvania. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, Trent. How are you?
Good, good. I just want to say, I've been listening to you guys for a couple of weeks, and you guys are phenomenal. I mean, I've learned so much from your program.
Well, why did you start listening, and thank you for that wonderful compliment.
Honestly, it came on my iPhone, and I decided to keep listening, and I mean, I've been hooked ever since. Every day at 2 o'clock around here, I put it on.
Thank you
wow.
so much. Well,
that's
how
good.
Can we help you today?
Yeah, I guess, a long story short, my girlfriend, she has physical impairments. She has, back issues, I guess that's as much as I can say.
Uh-huh.
And
is she in a wheelchair?
No, she has herniated disc in her back, multiple, and it's difficult for her to do things. And my question is, I struggle often with that, asking her to step up in categories such as currently we're in a long distance relationship because we're out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And driving for her and doing things that are normal for one person is too much for her.
Yeah.
In that category. And she has anxiety and fear and, you know, different fears that she has, and these things built up. It's difficult for me to figure out where to draw the line and like where to ask her to step up, because I feel guilty asking these things of her because of these anxieties and fears and impairments that she has.
Okay.
I guess my question is, where, like, how do I know when to ask her, and how do I stop feeling guilty for asking her of things?
Well, is there a problem when you do?
She gets upset quite easily.
See, I would think that's a separate problem than figuring out where the limits of the disability are. I think in every relationship, you know, everybody has limitations, and when somebody when the limitations are determined to be a disability, then that's where you sit down and have the conversation about where are the lines where this is something you can do and something you can't do. And then there's this middle ground where, let's call that the we don't know zone. And so sometimes I need a signal or something or some way to ask you, you know, this is one of those I'm not sure zones, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to intrude or hurt your feelings or require something, or I don't want to, you know, kind of assume too much that you can't do it either. And so right now I'm in the I don't know zone, and can we have a place where it's just okay to check that out?
Okay.
Yeah, and I think, too, to look at it as kind of normal, even if she wasn't handicapped, there would be things you would want to do or you would want her to do that she wouldn't want to do. And so you've got to work out that even if she didn't have the handicap.
Takes a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. It's just it's difficult sometimes because when I ask her to, you know, pick up the slack in some categories, because, like, with this impairment, I drive out often to see her, and with that, it's obviously taxing in my life and my family and you know, my jobs that I work and all those sorts of things. And when I start asking her to you know, start doing a little bit more, she gets upset and she gets anxious because she says she's trying her hardest, but then that guilt comes in, of which I don't know, like, am I asking too much?
Well, maybe you guys should, if you're really serious, should find a way to live in the same area where that wouldn't be an issue.
Right.
Are you serious enough to move to that step?
Economically speaking, it's a bit
mm-hmm.
possible.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Trent, I would add another thing there, too, and say, you know, if you just take that example, the one you mentioned, and said, I'm finding that as I drive to your house, you know, X amount of times with going to work, X amount of times in school and all this, that I'm exceeding, you know, what I can do. So I've got to cut back from 7 times to 4, okay? And so, you know, I just want you to understand I'm not coming because I don't care about you. It's just that with everything else I got to do, I got to do that. It would be great if you could find a way to come my way. But if you can't, you know, understand that. So that way you're not controlling her. You're just having your own limits. And so then she has to deal with a gap. And a lot of times, and I don't know her, but there are relationships involved disabilities that go in both directions. There are some times where some people with a disability won't let others do what they should let them do for them because it's hard for them to ask and it's hard for them to receive care, and they really do need more help than they're allowing. And then other times, people are wanting more help than they actually need, you know, because there's stuff that they can do that they're not doing. And that's what I think you guys have to figure out. But in both of those instances, there is a Trent amount that Trent wants to and is able to and is willing to give. And so once you figure that out, then you've got the gap space in between of what you're not giving and she's not giving, and either y'all go without or she steps up to the plate where she can.
All right, I'm glad you called. Let me send you boundaries. You'll like it.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if You know someone struggling with an eating disorder. They can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back, and glad you're with us here today with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Dave Stoop. We've been dealing with a lot of things here today, and we're going to take one final caller. But, hey, listen, if you're on the line, hang on. We've got another program right after this. Let's go to Paul from Tyler, Texas, listens on XM Satellite Radio. Thanks for holding on there, Paul. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys today?
Good. How can we help you?
Well, make a long story short, was married for 19 years, very active in church, my wife and I. I come home one day and found out she was leaving me for someone else.
Mm. Ouch.
That was very devastating. I had no clue whatsoever. And basically walked away and never said anything.
Wow. Yeah. You know? How long were you married, Paul?
19 years.
Wow.
And to this day, never said anything. And, you know, she had her master's in counseling and knew all the things to say, you know, beforehand. But, yeah, she never. Anyway, so right in the middle of that, just, very, you know, struggling very much, I met a wonderful woman. We were married shortly thereafter, neat Christian woman, and we've begun our life together. And, you know, with all that I went through, I basically lost everything I had. I was I'm a contractor. I build custom homes. I just, you know, we built our million-dollar dream home, my ex-wife and I. Lost all that, lost my business, lost everything, but gained this wonderful woman. We moved to Texas recently. And so really starting our life over again. And I know that I went through a lot of very hard things. And so it was kind of put on hold, meeting this my new wife and the life we've enjoyed. But, you know, we've got involved in the church, always been in church, moved to a new place, got involved in church, and met with the pastor a few times just to tell him what's going on. And
so tell us the problem.
So I was thinking, my wife said, you know, maybe I need to get some counseling. Maybe I need to just help deal with all that I went through, you know, knowing that God allowed it to happen, all those things, that He was in control. He knew this was going to happen. But she said, well, you know, what good does that do? And speaking with my pastor, he said, you know, you really got to deal with that. Start working with forgiveness and all that. And I said, okay, I've kind of put that on hold because it was just too painful. And so I started working through that. It is very painful. I mean, that's digging at a raw sore, so I don't want to do that. So I just told my wife, maybe I need to go see, you know, professional Christian counseling. She's, well, what good is that going to do to dig up the past?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and does it in a supporting way, I should say.
Well, it's, but, not, you know, it's not the past, Paul. It's very present, it sounds like.
Right, right.
Well,
it is.
Let me ask you a quick question. How long had you been divorced before you guys got married?
Oh, it was not long. Like, I mean, not long. I mean, it took 6 months for the divorce to become final. We basically got married the next day, you know, as soon as we possibly could.
Okay, so yeah. you had dated this person how long then?
Not long.
Yeah.
How long is not long?
probably 6 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got married 6 weeks after meeting each other?
Pardon?
You got married 6 weeks after you started dating?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I'm driving.
That's all right. We're just trying to make sure we heard what we heard. You got married after 6 weeks of dating?
Right. And she and I's relationship is wonderful. I mean, couldn't ask for a better godly woman.
But the problem is, she was a drug to you, a wonderful person that prevented you from grieving the losses that you had.
Right. And the way I found her was I roomed with her brother at a Christian college, He is the pastor of a large church, and I went to him. I went fighting him to say, listen, I'm ready to put a gun in my mouth. I can't deal with what I'm having to go through. And through that, met her, and just, you know, God said, here, I've got someone waiting for you on the other side.
Okay, so you want to know whether or not you should go to counseling or listen to the pastor, well, listen to her who says, what good's it going to do? I think what good it's going to do, it's going to drag your ex-wife out of your relationship, and you're going to be able to not experience the pain of that anymore once you grieve that loss and forgive her.
Right. And she agreed. She said, hey, if you want to go, go. I want to support you. She said, I don't know if I agree with that, but, the pastor says that, wouldn't be a bad idea just to try and get over that so it doesn't, I don't bond it up 5 years from now.
Paul, what is it you're trying to get over specifically? I think I might have an answer for you to give your wife.
Just to move on, and I don't, being a Christian, that this is God's plan.
No, stop. What specifically do you need to move on from? What's the problem?
It's just what it does to you psychologically.
Tell me what that is. Tell me what that is.
What has it done to you?
What does it do to you? And what is the it?
It just
it's a
reminder of all the painful things. I want that to go away.
Okay, what are the painful things?
Losing everything, losing our dream house we'd built, the life I had with her, moving, losing all my friends, all my hobbies.
Okay, so you go to your wife and you say, you know what? I'm really stuck. I can't stop thinking about the pain, and I can't stop thinking about my life that I lost, and I can't stop thinking about my friends, and I can't stop thinking about the house and all that, and I'm really stuck.
I did okay with that. It's just when my pastor said, you got to start revisiting that and work on forgiveness. I was more of like, let's forget about it.
Well, just stop for a second and say, I need to go get some help learning how to work on forgiveness. I'm not being able to do it very well.
Well, and it takes grieving, and so it's like grief counseling. You had a lot of losses that you didn't grieve, and you need to grieve them so that they can be put in the past. So they're very, very real in terms of your life today. So I would look for a counselor, a Christian counselor, who knows how to do grief counseling, and that will be a part of the process of forgiving. And that will give you the freedom. You do that for your own sake, not for your ex's sake.
Go ahead.
Well, I think a lot of these arguments people get into about counseling or no counseling, stay in the theoretical level. And what you got to get to is the specifics and say, I am having a problem with this. Okay, yeah. I can't stop doing this. And they say, well, stop doing that. Say, well, I've tried to stop doing it. I can't. Give me another suggestion. And so when somebody is telling you to not get help, then turn to them and ask them for help. Okay, if you don't want me to get that help, tell me what you want me to do. And generally speaking, the advice givers who want you to not do something a lot of times don't have anything to tell you to do.
They say, and just get over it.
and say, well, I can't do that. What do you want me to do? And get it out of the theoretical and ask somebody, because, see, they should have good biblical answers for that. And there are good biblical answers for that. Things like grieving, like Dave says, and weeping with those who weep, and uncovering what's in the darkness, and on.
Out of time. I'm really glad you called, and I'm sorry we're out of time. I'll send you Healing is a Choice. It's my story, and I hope that it'll help you there. 10 decisions to make to heal. Thank you, Henry. Sorry to interrupt your rant there, your therapeutic rant. But,
well, it's just, the Bible has processes, and we need to do those.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening to us today. We're out of time. Help us if you can. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Support this ministry. We would really appreciate it right here in the middle of August. And God bless you. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Great resources there at newlife.com. Look at it there, Facebook, Twitter. We're there. So come join us. We'll see you next time right here on New Life Live. Glad you called us today.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.